TriggerCon 2018 highlights this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday we are going to talk about our experience at TriggerCon 2018 in Bellevue, Washington, week before last. We've gotten back, we've started to upload some videos from the specific vendors at TriggerCon, but I just wanted to take a minute and give you my comments on some of the key vendors that we ran into out there that have some new products coming out. Now, watch till the end, and I'll give you a rundown of this thing sitting in front of me, because those of you that may notice, this is a MDT chassis, but it's something a little bit different than what is currently available on their website right now. So we'll talk about that at the end. The first thing that I want to talk about is the format for TriggerCon. TriggerCon is open to the public, but the first 2 days, day one consists of a range day where we actually get to go out and shoot some stuff, and range two is a media or vendor only day. So the first 2 days are not open to the public. Then the second 2 days of the show are open to the public, so then you can roll in, you can check things out, and roll from vendor to vendor. It's just basically a big gun show, but it is really premium brands. It's not Cousin Eddie and his ammo reloading setup with piles of dodgily reloaded ammo. Not to put any of you reloaders or commercial reloaders down, but we all know how that stuff goes. So it is really kept to premium brands. It is kept to be a smaller show and kind of a more intimate show, and it's great for those of us in the industry because it's a little bit more of a relaxed show. It starts later in the day than, for instance, SHOT Show, so you can take a little bit more of a leisurely morning, getting your coffee, getting your breakfast, getting to the show, and getting things set up. And then you can roll into the show, and because it's a more compact area, it's easier to get around and talk to everybody and see everything. But there is still a lot to see, and over 4 days, we still came away realizing that there was some stuff that I missed that I wanted to cover. But that's the nature of the beast of covering trade shows. It always happens that way. Also, we mentioned earlier that we were doing this a little bit differently. We were doing it more vlog style, more run and gun style, and I'm not sure if I really like that. Obviously, from doing this show, I prefer to be in front of the camera. I feel that we get a little bit more out of reps when I can talk with them on camera versus just holding the camera and letting them go through their spiel. So I'm not thoroughly happy with that format. The videos came out okay for being in a dark exposition hall, and the lighting was really fairly dim as far as a video or photography standpoint. But I think they came out overall. Now I'm going to cover a couple of the key manufacturers that had some new things out that really interested me. And the first one was Grey Ghost Precision. And Grey Ghost came out with their Grey Ghost Combat Pistol, the GGP-CP. And this pistol, it debuted at the show. They announced it there. And it is their full custom pistol. Now, there are a lot of custom Glocks out there on the market. You've seen the information that we've put out on the Danger Close Armament custom Glock 19 or signature Glock 19 that they did for us. We've showed you some of the other custom guns that we have here. But this is not a Glock that has been customized. The Grey Ghost Combat Pistol is a Glock pattern handgun in the same way that, for instance, an STI is a 1911 pattern handgun, but it's all custom components that are made by that company. So the Grey Ghost Combat Pistol is a custom Glock pattern handgun. The frame is a custom design from Grey Ghost Precision. The slide is milled by them, and it's their own milling pattern. The barrel is manufactured by them to their own specs. Now, I didn't get a rundown on where each of the small parts came from. There are a lot of suppliers that are ramping up to provide Glock pattern smaller parts. The Grey Ghost Combat Pistol greatly interests me. I was able to shoot it at the range day, and it shot very well. Now, I picked it up and ran it it felt like a Glock. It shot like a Glock, even though it is not a Glock. The frame is really very recognizable when you see pictures of it. It is a Polymer 80 design, but they're not taking Polymer 80 frames and then finishing them out. There are some design cues on the frame that is only available through Grey Ghost. The design of the texturing on the slide is a Grey Ghost specific thing. There are some other little details on the slide that is specific to Grey Ghost Precision, in addition to the actual ATF required markings that are on the frame of the handgun. But if you shoot Polymer 80 guns, then the feel of the Grey Ghost Combat our Grey Ghost combat pistol will be very familiar to you. Now, the slide, Grey Ghost does sell Glock compatible slides, but the design and the milling of the slide on the Grey Ghost combat pistol is only available on the Grey Ghost combat pistol. So you can't go buy a Polymer 80 frame and build yourself a Grey Ghost combat pistol. It will not look the same. It's not an exact duplicate. And that was kind of a smart thing on their part, because when you look at one, you should be able to distinguish a Grey Ghost combat pistol from a pistol that someone put together. Now, there is some criticism because the price point of the Grey Ghost combat pistol is going to be around $1,500. Initially, we were told $1,599, but there may be some changes on that when it actually comes out and hits dealer shelves. It is supposed to ship to dealers at the end of this month, so late August 2018. And you should start seeing them trickle out. Now, the criticism that we saw was guys that were doing the math and going and shopping for various components on the internet to build a pistol that is similar to the Grey Ghost combat pistol, and they were posting prices of what it would cost them to build what they felt was a comparable handgun, and there was a little bit of a differential in the price. Well, there is a premium that you pay to get a handgun from a manufacturer that's put together, that's test fired, and that comes with a warranty. They have advertising costs, they have manufacturing costs, and all this stuff. So what I'll say to those guys is, if you want to go out and you want to build a Polymer 80 pistol into something that is similar to the Grey Ghost combat pistol, then rock on. If you have the technical know-how, if you have the ability to do so, and you maybe even want to deviate from some of the features that are on the Grey Ghost combat pistol, then that will be a good path for you. If you're one of the guys that just wants to drop your money, grab a gun, take it out of the box, load it up, and go shoot it, then the Grey Ghost combat pistol may be an option for you. What I like is this is showing that manufacturers for polymer striker-fired guns are kind of they're standardizing on the Glock pattern. Now, there are some differences. The grip angle difference, it is not a Glock grip angle. It is a little bit more shallower of an angle than your standard Glock 17 or Glock 19, but it still takes Glock magazines. Glock compatible or Glock pattern barrels are compatible. Glock pattern slides are compatible. So the sky is the limit now if you want to build a full custom striker-fired handgun with no Glock parts whatsoever. So I think that's kind of cool. It's also cool that you have a ton of options on what parts to go into it. So that is the Grey Ghost combat pistol. Hopefully we will be able to get one in a little bit later this year and run it side by side with one of our custom Glocks and see how we feel about it versus just buying a stock Glock pistol and sending it off to one of the custom shops to have it built up. The next Grey Ghost Precision product that I'm going to talk about is the Grey Ghost Mark II Grim Rifle. Now, this really caught my eye because this is kind of a brainchild of Jason Churns. Jason was over at Mega Arms prior to Zev acquiring Mega. And Jason has moved over to Grey Ghost Precision, is taking some of the knowledge that he learned from the Mega Arms Ma-10 and is bringing it into Grey Ghost design for the Mark II rifles. And the one that really caught our eye was the Mark II Grim. This is a 6.5 Creedmoor rifle. This is an out-of-the-box, ready-to-compete-with semi-automatic rifle, and it comes in at about 10 pounds. It really has all the features that we know and love from the Mega Arms Mach 10. It is not a monolithic design, though. They are taking a departure from the monolithic designs because we are really seeing a ton of handguards, a ton of options in that area. And while I built our last 6.5 Creedmoor semi-automatic rifle on a monolithic type platform, if I had to do it again, I would not go that route because it requires special tools to install the barrel. It is difficult to clean because you can't really get back into those recesses, so it's not easy just to slide the handguard off, clean the barrel, and clean the front end of the assembly outside of the bore, cleaning the outside of the barrel, and check things on the gas block and that. It's really not easy to do with a monolithic type setup unless you're running an exposed gas block. So I think it's smart of them to go with a standard handguard and upper receiver design because, again, then it gives you the option to kind of put together whatever you want. Now, the complete Mark II Grim rifle is $3,200. It comes in at 10 pounds, and it has all the features. It ticks all the boxes. It really is set up just like our 6.5 Creedmoor rifle was that we built up. So it makes a lot of sense, and that is pretty much a... It's a little bit on the higher side when you look at other 6.5 Creedmoor products out there, but the machining that you're getting is really high-end machining. It's a really good fit and finish on the parts, so I don't know that the $3,200 price point is outlandish. Now, if you want to build up your own, like a lot of us did with the Mega Arms Mach 10, Grey Ghost will be offering receiver sets, so you can go ahead and purchase one of their Mark II Heavy receiver sets and then build up your own rifle with all the components that you want. So a lot of guys, that is going to be the preferred option. And going forward, we may get in one of the receiver sets and take what we have learned from the Mega Arms Mach 10 6.5 Creedmoor project and apply it to a new rifle, because really that 6.5 Creedmoor project has shot well. We learned some things on the gas system and bolt carrier group and that, and the rifle has really gotten heavy overall. So we may try to build up a lighter weight version of that and improve on it going forward. But again, glad to see that the design has not died with the Zev acquisition of Mega Arms, and that Jason's know-how is living on in Grey Ghost Precision. Next, we'll talk about Killer Innovations. Killer Innovations was debuting their new Velocity Brake. It didn't really have a specific name, but it is their Glock type brake in their Velocity line, and it is a really, really interesting overall design. Now, initially, this should be available for the Glock 19, and of course, as we mentioned earlier, other striker fired pistols in the Glock pattern, but it is a very cool brake system. Now, we are familiar with brakes from working with the KKM compensator that we have on our Roland Special-ish build. We have got some time shooting the Strike Industries comp on their Gen 4 compensator. And this really seems to tick all the boxes with issues that we've seen with those other two setups. The Killer Innovations Velocity Brake is really designed to be a toolless installation, which is a really, really cool idea if you have a pistol that you want to put a brake on, but you also may end up wanting to shoot a suppressor at a range day, or you may want to take the brake off and put a thread protector on and carry it concealed without the brake. Really, a toolless design gives you a lot of options to pull that gun out of the safe or take it to the bench at the range and reconfigure it however you want to go. Now, if we take a look at like the KKM compensator that we have on our Glock 19, that is Loctited and screwed on so that it doesn't shoot off through the heat cycles during firing. So it is really required that you Loctite the thing on and that you torque down those set screws and you make sure it's not going anywhere. Well, Killer Innovations took the brake design and they use a push button locking system and a thumb nut to tighten the brake on. They have two set screws that index slots on either side of the barrel. So you slide the brake on, the slots index, and then you tighten down the thumb screw, which is held in place by a mechanical assembly that interferes with it. So hold the button down, tighten the thumb screw, and then you can release the button, and the button will hold the thumb screw tight. It will prevent the thumb screw from backing off. The two set screws keep the compensator clocked, so there's no worry of it spinning on the barrel. Now, there were a lot of questions on if this can be used on a current threaded barrel. So if you have a half 28 threaded barrel, will this new brake work on that barrel? And the answer is that it will, but you will need to use a certain type of set screw, cut point set screws that will index in and hold the brake in place, since you don't have the indexing slots that the Killer Innovations barrel will have. And my opinion on this is, if you're going to buy the brake, just buy the Killer Innovations barrel. Maybe even sell your old threaded barrel if you just want to get rid of the barrel. Because part of the awesomeness of this design is not needing to mess with set screws or anything of that nature. Now, we shot the comp in the white. It was just bare aluminum. They're in the early stages of getting the production run out. But the actual production run will be black nickel Teflon. Black nickel Teflon, and they are 7075 aluminum. So once they're finished out, they should be fairly durable, fairly lightweight on the handgun. I didn't really notice a balance change on the handgun running this compensator versus running some other comps that we have tried out. And overall, it looks like it's going to be a really awesome system. Additionally, the price point is they're trying to keep this under $100. So that is a really slick price point for the amount of innovation that is going into this brake. It's not just another screw-on brake. It actually has a lot of design behind it. So I'm anxious to see it shipping, and hopefully, again, we can get one out and we can show you guys some detail in the finished production model. Now, the next company I'm going to talk about is a new company to us. They're kind of fresh on the scene, and their name is RTS Trigger Shield. And when we posted some, we've already posted the video from them at the show, and we also posted some Instagram photos of their product, which is a trigger shield. It's designed for AR-type systems, and it is kind of a clamshell type device that is spring-loaded that covers either side of your exposed trigger guard on an AR-15. Now, of course, as soon as we posted this, it caused a lot of love and hate. Well, I shouldn't say love and hate. It caused a lot of mediocre warm and hate. Hate always seems to be the stronger emotion. A lot of people, I don't think, understand the application of this product. This is not something that your average gun guy who goes out and bangs steel at the range, or your average home defense guy, anything like that. This is probably not a product that is oriented towards that individual. What the Trigger Shield does is it provides an added measure of safety for guys that are in the profession, that are wearing heavy armor, that have pouches and straps and all kinds of stuff all over the front of their gear. It is not a isolated event to have a SWAT operator or a military entry team guy or even a hunter moving through the woods have their selector snapped off by a piece of debris, placed into the fire position by a piece of debris or a piece of gear that they're carrying, and then have something intrude into the trigger guard and depress the trigger. This is one of the few times where I actually will call it an accidental discharge, because it is a discharge that occurred completely independent from the actions of the operator. Usually we call them negligent discharges, because anytime your finger intrudes into the trigger well and you fire the weapon when you did not intend to do so, that is a negligent situation. This is an accidental discharge. I personally know of one SWAT team operator who had this happen to him, where his weapon was slung and gear on the front of his ballistic vest flipped the selector to fire, and at some point either a strap or something else intruded into the trigger guard and depressed the trigger, causing his rifle to fire. Thankfully, it was pointed in a safe direction and only resulted in some damage to the structure below him and not to another team member or an uninvolved individual. So this does occur. Now, of course, the huge concern is we can get to a point where we are so safe that it makes the weapon inoperable. We can't go to a point where we have such heavy triggers that you can't make a precise shot. We can't get to a point where we have a selector that is so heavy that you cannot easily flip that selector off when your sights come on target. If we do that, then it diminishes from the primary mission of the weapon. So what the trigger shield does is allow you to take your standard AR-15 with your standard selector and your standard trigger and place an added measure of safety over it. Now, initially, I went into it very, very suspect. I did get a chance to fire it at the range day, and after a few minutes on it, I was able to get the trigger motion where I slid my finger in underneath the safety device, engaged the trigger, and fired the shot at the same time while I was bringing the weapon up and swiping the safety off. So it is something that you can train to, that you can become fairly proficient with. Now, I didn't have the time sitting there to just burn through mag after mag after mag, getting the manual arms up to where I was very quick getting my trigger underneath it. But within the 5 to 10 shots, I can't remember exactly how many I had there, I was able to get fairly quick with slipping my finger under the trigger and pressing, under the shield and pressing the trigger. This is something that you could definitely train to. Now, in our video that we've posted on our YouTube channel, the owner, Ryan, goes through and discusses how he suggests that you place your trigger finger on the trigger shield. And I have mixed feelings about that because I shoot a variety of systems. Not all of them would be equipped with a trigger shield. So I still prefer to have my high straight trigger finger and keep it up and away from the trigger guard. Of course, the purpose behind that is stress reflex, that grasp response. If you fall, you immediately want to grasp a hold of something, and both hands do it at the same time. So if you have a low and hooked trigger finger, it's very easy for that grasp response to turn into a trigger press. So I prefer to keep my finger straight and high on the trigger guard so that if I do convulsively pull it in, then it slides along the side of the weapon instead of hooking in and grabbing the trigger. With the trigger shield, I can still do that. I can still run my finger high above the trigger shield, and then as I'm coming up, sweep it down and underneath to get on the trigger. So instead of coming straight down and hooking in, I'm coming down and then up and in. So it is a little bit of an added move. Now, if that would actually cut down my time to firing a shot, that has to be seen after repetition on the range with a shot timer and running an equipped gun and an unequipped gun. So again, something I really want to see with this product and take it out on the range. Another thing that was brought up that I discussed with Ryan is the technique of keeping your finger straight but underneath the trigger shield. So if you are in positive control of the weapon, say you're getting ready to go through a door, there's no reason that you can't sweep your finger under the trigger shield and keep it straight and off the trigger. The tension on the springs on the trigger shield is not enough that it would cause fatigue on your trigger finger in that situation. So having the finger up underneath there, you would still be able to come in and get on target very quickly and get your finger on the trigger very quickly. And if you immediately had to swing that weapon to clear a malfunction, transition, go hands-on, whatever, the guard springs down automatically, covers the trigger guard, and again, we are in an added safe condition. So I'm not 100% sold on the RTS trigger shield yet, but I am very intrigued. I definitely see a situation where this would be an added advantage to a SWAT operator or a military operator where you are running a lot of equipment on your vest, or even a hunter where you're moving through brush to your stand, etc. I know I'm not a big hunter. I know there are hunters out there that recommend keeping your weapon unloaded. I'm not going to get into all of that stuff. If I have a weapon on me, I prefer to actually have it loaded and in a ready condition. So But those are some possible implications for the RTS Trigger Shield. Again, an interesting product, a novel product. The price point on them is going to be approximately $49.50, so not an overly expensive product for what it is. And they should be available in the fall, so we should see them coming up here at the end of the summer. So I will look forward to actually getting one in, and that is definitely something that we're going to get a hold of. We're going to take out of the range. We're going to put it on the clock with me and some other shooters, and we're going to run it and see if it is definitely something that has an application in the professional application of firearms. And then lastly, we are going to talk about everybody's favorite, and that is Full Conceal, and that is the maker of the Folding Glock. Full Conceal was both at the range day and at the regular floor show at TriggerCon, and we got a chance to go through and shoot the product this year and talk to them a little bit more about the intended application of the Full Conceal Folding Glocks. Now, this, again, is one of those products that has sparked a lot of hate. I prefer to step back and look at it and try to find the application, try to find the use case for this product. Now, the Full Conceal has gone through some evolution. The current production models that are shipping really look to be fairly well engineered. I've got to give them some credit for solving a unique problem. Now, if it's a problem that actually exists in the real world or not, that is really for something for the end customer to decide. But I will tell you this, if somebody came to me and said that, hey, I'm looking for a gun I can fold up and put in my pocket, then this would be one that I would recommend that they take a look at. I did get to shoot it on the range. It did function. It did not malfunction in any way, shape, or form. The trigger mechanism did feel to me a little bit heavier than a stock Glock, but there are some unique aspects to the trigger that still have the trigger safety engaged and allow the system to fold up. So again, some really, really interesting novel features in there. Now, I did notice that when I shot it, the gap in the grip was definitely something that I was aware of. I could feel it there. But I believe that gap is kind of necessary, because if you didn't have a gap, the possibility of pinching your hand under recoil is probably a significant one. I believe that is more than likely why as large a gap as they have is there. Now, the hangup for most people is going to be the price. A Full Conceal M3D, which is their double stack Full Conceal built on a Glock, is going to be $1,000. So you are paying a considerable premium. You're paying approximately twice what a standard Glock 19 would cost you. Now, there are some options there. If you currently have a Glock 19, you can send it into Full Conceal, and for $499, they will convert it to an M3D. You also have the option of purchasing a Polymer 80 version. They are doing conversions on Polymer 80 frames, and that'll be $471. So you can get one of those in, and again, with aftermarket slides and barrels and all this stuff, you can build up your own polymer folding handgun. So really, kind of some interesting things. Now, when we talked to the guys at Full Conceal and we ran through our video interview, one thing that I asked them to go over was the use case. And again, the use case that we keep getting is for people that want to carry their gun in their pocket instead of in a holster. I guess that's a valid argument. If you really, really don't want a holster, if you really want a gun that you can stick in your tackle box or stick in your pocket, stick in your back pocket where you'd normally carry your wallet, then this is an option. Of course, the problem is that you still have to deploy it. Now, Full Conceal has put safeties in place that do allow you to carry with a round in the chamber. They didn't specifically say that they recommend doing that, but they demonstrated that the trigger cannot be pulled until the weapon is folded into a deployed situation. So the trigger is not only folded and protected by the grip folding in there, but the stub of the trigger could not actually be pulled, even if you're able to get your finger in there, until the grip is deployed and the trigger blade is straight down. So you could conceivably carry it with a round in the chamber folded in your pocket, although you still have to actually deploy and unfold the pistol before you could fire it. And there are videos out there of people doing the ninja flip where they quickly whip out the gun and deploy it. Now, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, if you put that on a shot timer next to a trained guy with a holstered handgun, the holster is going to win every time. There are some definite tactical issues with carrying a handgun folded, but if the full conceal gets someone that would normally otherwise be unarmed to carry a handgun and they practice with it, then I really can't find anything against it other than the cost. It is definitely a high price item, but the reality is it's the only thing out there that does what it does. So really, leave your comments down below. I really want to hear what you guys have to say about it. Knowing that this is really designed for people that really, really don't want to carry a holster, how do you feel about this handgun? Now, Full Conceal does make a holster for the handgun, so you can carry it in a standard configuration. So if this was your only gun, you have the option of carrying it in a holster, just like you would carry a normal Glock, or fold it up and put it in your pocket, which we of course know you should never ever pocket a Glock without something actually covering the trigger guard. So just knowing that, how do you guys feel about it? What do you think about the Full Conceal? That is it for the items that I wanted to cover from TriggerCon. Now, again, there was a ton of other stuff. Keep an eye on the channel. We will be putting out more of the videos throughout this coming week from TriggerCon. We just got jammed up with a lot of other work going on, and we kind of got behind on getting the videos edited and getting them out. I did pick up some other stuff at TriggerCon that we are going to be working on, namely, we managed to talk to JP, and they were nice enough to give us one of their silent captured spring systems. This will be going in the 6.5 Creedmoor Mach-10 project. We are going to try a couple of other things and then come to you with the full rundown on that. We talked to SIG Optics quite a bit, and one of the things that I got from them, because we are doing the P320RX review, this is their new steel shroud for the Romeo 1 optic. So the Romeo 1 optic, there are some other reviewers, some other YouTubes out there that have smashed up the Romeo 1, and this should allow it to be a little bit more durable. This is a spring steel shroud that will go over it and give it an added layer of protection, very similar to what you have on the Leupold Delta Point Pro. And the Delta Point Pro right now is one of the few optics that I would say is duty ready. The other one, of course, being the Trigicon RMR. So we're going to go ahead and toss this on our Romeo 1 on our P320RX, and we're going to see how well that works. They also gifted us a Foxtrot 1. This is the light that is designed specifically for the P320. The design of the light really has some cool aesthetic to it that flows with the designs on the slide on the P320. So we'll give it a try and we'll see how that works out. Bobro has some new split ring mounts. These are called the Labyrinth Rings. And they are a really cool design. They're kind of similar to the design of the old Warn rings, but these are much, much higher quality. They have kind of a step in the middle that helps with alignment. And we're really going to be interested to get these on a rifle and give them a try. I may put these on the 300 Win Mag and see how well they hold the optic and if we have any issues there. Again, like all Bobro products, these are really, really well designed. They feel really good. They're matched rings. So it's kind of an interesting product for them. So we'll get them on a rifle, and a little bit later we will give them a try. Lastly, I'm going to talk about Frog Lube. And Frog Lube was one of the exhibitors present at TriggerCon. And those of you guys that have watched the channel for a while know I have had some issues with Frog Lube working well. Well, this is the new Frog Lube Extreme. And I explained to them the issues that I had with previous versions of Frog Lube gumming up and not working well. And they assure me that the Frog Lube Extreme will not have these issues. So we are going to grab our SIG 1911 TACOPS, and I'm going to clean that thing completely down, remove all traces of any petroleum cleaner, because Frog Lube doesn't work well with petroleum, and we're going to lube it up with Frog Lube, and we're going to see how well it works, how well the Frog Lube Extreme works. So we are going to give Frog Lube a second try, because that's what we do here. I am more than happy to give a previous product that didn't work well a try when they make changes or come out with a new formulation. So we will give that a try. Now I will get to this guy right here. This is a new chassis that Modular Driven Technologies is working on. Now, there's some things that I can't talk about as far as specific features inside the chassis. But overall, this is a really cool evolution of their chassis design, and it is designed specifically for competition. It has a full ARCA rail on the bottom here. So you can, like we have our Really Right Stuff equipped Atlas bipod here, I can slide this bipod to wherever I want it and then tighten it down. I can also drop it into our Really Right Stuff tripod. It'll snap right in with the lever ARCA mount that I have on there, or the Really Right Stuff spec mount that I have on there. They have extended the front of the mag well so that this works much better for a barricade stop. This does not have a folding stock on it. This is a fixed stock. I am not sure at this point if folding will be an option later on, but the fixed stock works very, very well. And the part that everyone really is pointing out is the pistol grip. This is a departure from MDT's chassis so far. So far, most of the chassis have used an AR-15 style pistol grip, but this actually has its own vertical grip with some grip scales on the side here. And there may be some changes to that on the production chassis. But you have this grip, or you also have an option to put an AR-15 style grip on here. Now, of course, you guys know we are sponsored by Modular Driven Technologies. That was made evident at the beginning of the show. But they sent this guy out to us in prototype form to run down. We submitted a survey, talked to them about some of the different design features on here, and they are coming close to finalizing the design on the production chassis. So I will tell you right off the bat, what I can tell you, this chassis balances very, very well. It is great for shooting free recoil, shooting off of barricades. It just really feels great overall. I'm very, very impressed with some of the features that they put in the chassis. A lot of people are going to comment right off the bat because of the way the grip is designed and that it looks very much like a Masterpiece Arms chassis. There are some differences in the Masterpiece Arms chassis versus this, and some of that stuff we can't quite get into just yet until the design's finalized and MDT gives us the green light. But I have had this in a couple of videos. I have had this in a couple of clips and a couple of pictures, so I wanted to tell you guys what it was you were looking at in those videos. There are a couple of other guys out there who have been showing this online, and MDT was nice enough to give us the green light, at least to tease it to you guys and to tell you what it was. So we will give you more information when we are allowed to release details on it, such as specifications on weight and all that. But again, this is a prototype. The production version will have some small changes in it, so we can't get too deep into specs if the specs on the version that you would be able to buy are different than the prototype that I have here. Well, that's going to be all for this Mail Call Mondays. I know this is kind of a short one, but like always, we're trying to get ahead of things and trying to get things out to you. So if you have any questions or comments over anything that we've covered on this Mail Call Mondays, go ahead and leave them in the comments section down below. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app, you can send questions to us at 8541tactical@gmail.com. If you like the show, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And until next time, get out and shoot!